For today's scripture, we are reading from Exodus 3, chapters 1 to 15. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called out to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to the Pharaoh to bring my people to the Israelites out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to the Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He said, "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations.'" Here ends the word.
I'm so excited to be with you today. And I want to start off by saying, even though it is a cloudy and rainy day, I'm so glad the Lord is here, and I'm so glad all of you are here. We are exploring the book of Exodus, and we're exploring Moses' journey. And Moses' journey is very unique because it kind of, in some ways, even though it was so long ago, we see it in our own lives, the search for identity, the doubt that you feel, and going through life thinking, wow, can this really be what God has planned for me? Couldn't he use someone better, more skilled? And that's why I want to say, the phrase you're going to hear me say a lot today is, who God is matters more than who you are. Who God is matters more than who you are. So when someone asks who you are, how do you answer? Most people start with their profession. I'm a teacher. I'm retired. I'm a parent. I'm an engineer. I'm this. I'm that. How long until we get to I am a Christian? I'm a child of God. Our identity is something that's always kind of confusing to explain. I have to tell you, church family, I had an identity mishap a couple weeks ago. We went to this convention, CBOQ Assembly, and they always split us up. If you're a youth pastor, you get to go to the youth pastor spot. And if you're a children's pastor, you go to the children's pastor spot. And then if you're, they call it a leadership position, you get to go to that. So I've been always going to the youth pastor spot. I know the youth pastor people. I know that instead of having bagels and donuts that are gluten-free, I get to have chicken fingers. But for the first time, I had to go to the old people spot. And oh my gosh, it was so different. Church family, I have to tell you, there were people there that had been ministers longer than I had been alive. They were talking like, oh, 40 years ago, this happened. I'm like, 40 years ago is 7 years before I was born. But it was so cool to hear their perspective. And then when I'm hearing them, I'm like, these are the leaders. Why am I in this room? I should be in the other room. Because when you're around people, it's easy to compare. It's easy to ask the identity questions of who am I? Am I experienced enough? Am I qualified enough? And we see Moses actually asked the same question, right? See, Moses lost all of his, every identity he once had, right? Moses was Hebrew by birth. He was an Egyptian prince by adoption. He was a murderer. He was a fugitive. He was a shepherd. Moses was 80 years old, and 40 years of his life he spent being royalty in Pharaoh's palace. And he spent the next 40 years in wilderness, wandering around. So it's an ordinary day, right? Let's set the scene. It's an ordinary day. Moses has his sheep, probably has his shepherd staff, and there's a mountain and there's a bush. Seems like a pretty normal, relaxing day. But it's a bush that was burned, that was not consumed. I'm assuming in the desert, bushes burn pretty often. But it burned, but was not consumed. That's got to be weird, right? You're seeing it burn, but it's not burning. Doesn't really make sense. I can't imagine what Moses is thinking. He's been going through this daily routine for 40 years of his life. I know that might not sound like a lot to some of you, but again, 40 years, longer than I've been alive. It's a long time. And then there's this outlier, a bush that was burning but not consumed. Many academics and theologians relate the bush to Israel, saying that Israel was struggling, Israel was on fire, but it was not consumed because God was protecting Israel. That's a very common consensus that came up when I was researching. It's a way of preserving the covenant, right? The Abrahamic covenant. I was doing some research and I realized that one commentary said it could be a thorn bush. And I was like, well, a thorn bush, that could be really interesting. Because, do you know who wore a crown of thorns 2,000 years later? Jesus. Right? And wasn't Jesus under fire? But he never burned. Jesus was on a cross, but he never lost. Jesus continued to do his ministry. And at the very end, he conquered the grave. He was never burned. Isn't that powerful? That we can see the foreshadowing and the message of the thorn. Now let's talk a little bit about the bush, right? I'll be honest, I don't understand Moses' idea here. If I hear a bush call me, it says, Tom, Tom, I'm already running down the mountain. I am gone. But we see Moses, Moses. See, God calls people by name twice when he's calling them in ministry. We see it. We see Abraham, Abraham, Jacob, Jacob, Samuel, Samuel, Saul, Saul. I think sometimes God might be calling us, but we miss it. Are you listening for when he calls Margaret, Margaret, Ellen, Ellen, Shirley, Surely. Are you listening for when God calls you? Are you ready for the ministry that God is going to put on your life? Because God is still calling people. That's why the church is still moving forward. It didn't finish. We're still going. We're still moving. And God is still calling everyday people. And you know what? I think it's so powerful that he called Moses at 80 years old. Because that means he can call you at any time. You might be at a point in your life where you're like, well, maybe I haven't done enough. maybe God hasn't used me yet. But you don't know what he's preparing you for. God used Moses, and everything Moses went through was God preparing him for this moment. We see in verse 5, he says, take off your sandals. During this time period, people who were servants would take off their sandals. Today, most of us take off our shoes in our house. I had this idea of asking everyone to take off their shoes, but then I realized we might not have the ventilation system to support that idea. But metaphorically, take off your shoes with me and get comfortable. This is a moment where he is being called to ministry. This is a moment where he is being called to be God's servant. You see, taking off your shoes, and then he follows it up with, you're walking on holy ground. Do you know what made that ground holy? It was not the mountain. It was God's presence that made it holy ground. So wherever God is, there is holy ground. This is not holy ground. Because God is here, this is holy ground. Because this is the church, it does not make it holy ground. But in fact, everywhere we go where God is present, that ground is holy. I'm not saying go and walk around barefoot. But I imagine what Moses is going through. He's being called. He's taking off his shoes. And he's terrified to look up. It says that he shields himself from the fire. He shields himself from God's divinity. He's scared. Understandably so, because God is all powerful. I'm thinking about this fire. I think about the fire that we're all in right now, right? I'm sure there's financial struggles that feel like fire. I'm sure there's health struggles. I'm sure there's family struggles. I'm sure there's anxiety and fear. We're in a really, really tough spot in the world right now. There's war. It's terrifying. We can agree that there is fire around us, but it is God who protects us from that fire. So you don't have to worry. When you go out in the world, the fire can be all around you, but you are protected by Jesus Christ. We see in verse 7, it says, I've indeed seen the misery of my people. In fact, he says four things. I have seen, I have heard, I know, and I have come down. For those of you who don't know your Torah very well, there was 400 years of silence. Israel had not heard from God in 400 years, right? But silence did not mean abandonment. God makes it clear, I have seen, I have heard, I know, and I have come down. I think Moses wanted God to come sooner. If you remember last week when Pastor Alan was talking about Exodus chapter 1 and 2, Moses does kill an Egyptian guard for beating a Hebrew man. Moses felt the plight of his people. Moses wanted to care for his people. Moses wanted to free his people. But Moses wasn't ready to do it with God. He wanted to do it himself. He had to wait for God's timing for it to be effective. So even though there were cries, God is saying, I have seen, I have heard, I know, and I have come down. God is never distant from suffering. I think sometimes we feel like when we're going through something, God isn't there because we're not getting the response that we want right away. I can't tell you, church family, the amount of times I feel like I've gone through something. And I'll be like, I feel like David, my God, why have you forsaken me? Sometimes that turns into the most beautiful testimony. Sometimes God has to use the suffering to bring us to the promised land. Sometimes we have to feel the heat of the fire but never get burned. For God to walk, for us to feel it. I think if Moses hadn't gone and been a shepherd for 40 years, he wouldn't have been ready for what comes later on in his life. He had to go through the hardship and the suffering. We see in verse 10, he says, "So now go." Go. Can you imagine me, Moses, in this moment? Moses thinking, "I'm 80 years old." Moses sees his failure. "I tried to do this before God. And when I killed the guard that was abusing my people called me a murderer, and I fled." Moses sees his weakness. Church family, what do you see when you look at yourself in the mirror? Do you see a child of God who, with God, can do anything? Or do you see someone who's failed over and over again, so why try one more time? Moses had 40 years of failure, right? Moses must have thought the wilderness was a punishment, but it was preparation. I think about God's positioning here, because it would have made more sense for God to send angels to free Israel from the Egyptian rule, right? God could have sent an army of angels. Would have been done. So easy, right? But he chose to use Moses because the deity of the Lord needs the relationship of humanity. We need him. We need that connection. We need that God moment to feel his presence in our lives. Because the same argument I'm making right here, that God could have sent angels, when Jesus was picking his disciples, he could have picked better. He could have picked better than fishermen and tax collectors and all of these broken people. But he picked them for a reason. Because he uses ordinary people like you and me. He uses us to share his message. He uses us to share the gospel. He sends us. He calls us. Because we need to rely on him. God will always work through his people. I can't tell you how beautiful that is. And then we see in verse 11, "Who am I?" The key moment of Moses' doubt. Who am I? Right? 40 years. 40. And then God changes it and he says, "It doesn't matter who you are, it matters who I am. Because I am with you." I will be with you. I'd say that's the climax of this interaction. Where Moses is making every excuse, "God, I can't, God, I'm not able to, I won't be able to, I'm not this, I'm not that." And God says, "It doesn't matter, Moses. I will be with you." That's the attitude we have to take, church family, is that it doesn't matter who we are. It matters who God is. I have to be honest with you. I've been really struggling. About 10, 11 days ago, my mom got diagnosed with skin cancer. And she's getting surgery tomorrow. And they're doing a bunch of stuff. So they're removing the cancerous part of her skin, the melanoma. And then they have to check her blood work and they have to take out some lymph nodes and see exactly where, if the cancer has progressed and what it means. And my mom has been a woman of faith her whole life. I had all these questions, I had all these fears. I sat with our doctor for like an hour, asked him everything I could. And my mom told me, "It doesn't matter because God's with me." She told me it doesn't matter. And I was like, "Mom, I'm pretty sure it matters." And she told, and what she does, because I grew up in the kind of church where this was like a normal thing, she would smack me in the back of the head. Still does. Smack me right in the back of the head. And she said, "Boy, did I not raise you to have faith?" That's always, when I was in trouble, she'd always call me boy. It was boy or Thomas William Andrew. One of the two. "But I will be with you." So we're walking forward, knowing that God is with us. I want to tell you, church family, I can read it in Scripture. It doesn't make it easier. It's a real struggle. I'm terrified. I love my mom so much. I have a fear of the unknown. I always have a desire for answers. But I do believe that through her faith, she'll be okay. I believe that even though there is a fire around her, she will be okay. I have to tell you, when I was able to tell our young adult group, said my mom got diagnosed with cancer, I think if there was a way to overload the prayer server, to quote our young adults, we were going to do it. And I believe that when you have righteous people, God-fearing people, praying, it is the most powerful thing we have. So, even though I walk in fear, I know that God is with me. I know that he's with her. Now I think about Moses. Moses had to have wanted answers, right? But Moses doesn't really get them. In fact, when Moses kind of asks, like, God, who are you? He says, I am who I am. Now, when you read that in an English sense, Beth, back me up here. It's pretty nonsensical. You ask someone to introduce yourself, and they're like, I am who I am. I got no information from that. Like, that does not make sense to me. I am who I am. Who is that? I think Moses was scared to ask God, but that would have been me. Thunderous bush talking me, I am who I am. Could you elaborate, please, sir? But I think it means that God is whoever we need him to be. God is our brother. He is our father. He is our friend. He is our savior. If you go through, if you remember, just before Easter, we preached on the I am statements, where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the light. I am, I am, I am. I think it's hard for our brains to understand who God is. We can't put God into one box. We don't have the neurons firing fast enough to comprehend the omnipotence of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So the best we can do is I am who I am. And he is who he is. And because of who he is, I fear not death or anything else, because he is with me. I believe we always sing this worship song, right, Alan? We have no equal, God, you have no equal, no rival, no comparison, right? Let's take a second, right? Pharaoh has rivals. There are people who want to be king of Egypt. Kings have rivals. David, Solomon, they all had rivals. 2026, we have countries that have rivals. But God has no rival. God has no equal. Nothing can compare to God. Because who God is will matter infinitely more than who you are. I am who I am. I am who I am. I know it doesn't make grammatical sense, church family, but trust me, he is who he is. And whoever you need him to be, he will be that for you. Because he knows you. That's what's beautiful about our God. There are 8 billion people in this world, yet he calls us by name. He is self-existent. He is eternal. He is unchanging. The same God that talked to Moses in a burning bush, the same God that Abraham encountered, the same God that Noah encountered, the same God that Saul encountered, is the same God that we pray to today. He is unchanged. It says in John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus is confirming his call to deity. He is confirming he is the Lord. And he's intentionally using the Mosaic language. The God of the bush became the Savior on the cross. The God of the bush became the Savior on the cross. So who God is matters a lot more than who we are. So when you feel, when we're asking, hey, would you lead a small group? We need more deacons. We need more leaders. Don't worry about your skills, because God is going to be with you. You are going to serve Jesus. And when you feel like I'm not enough, that is just Satan trying to keep you down. Because the Lord, our God, is with you. And that matters so much. I'll be honest, church family, I feel inadequate every time I share a message about Jesus. Because I know no matter how much I study, how much education I have, the amount of hours I put in, I will prepare, but I know that he will do the rest. Because as much as I can prepare, I cannot do him justice. And the amount of times I prepare a message, this comes one way, and then it comes another way. Back me up here, right? She hears the rehearsals every Saturday night. I run through it to try and make sure I don't talk for 40 minutes. And it always winds up different. Because we have to leave room for God on our behalf. So when you know who God is, you stop being controlled by who you think you are. Right? Those labels, parent, grandparent, retired, doctor, engineer, lawyer, fast food worker, unemployed. It doesn't matter, because you know who God is. That goes beyond every single divide that Satan has put forward against his people. It goes above our racial divides. It goes above our gender divides. It goes above every other divide. You're a child of God before you're anything else. And because you're a child of God, it doesn't matter, right? So I know, church family, I know that some of you might be going through stuff and we don't know it. Some of you might have a loved one with a cancer diagnosis and you haven't really shared it. Some of you might not have a ton of extra money right now and you're wondering how you're going to take care of your bills. Some of you might be struggling with a feeling of loneliness. But the thing is, when you know who God is, those labels will never define you. I use the example of a child. When I was really young, I figured out really quickly that my dad was the easier parent to get stuff from. So if I wanted something, I would go to dad first. Is that the case in your households? Usually dad's the easier one? Sometimes. So say I wanted to have McDonald's for dinner. Don't ask mom. She'll say we have McDonald's at home. Dad, maybe. I had a system. I would call him on his cell phone. And I'd say, dad, what do you think about McDonald's? He's like, did you talk to your mom yet? I'm like, no, you should do it because you guys are married. I set him up for failure. But the thing is, I wanted to walk in the authority my dad gave me. So when he would tell me I could do something, my mom would say, you can't do it. I'd say, nope, dad told me I could. And I would go forward boldly. Sounds funny, right? Do you walk in the authority that your heavenly Father has given you? Do you walk in his authority or in your own? Do you walk and move forward saying, Jesus told me to do this? If Jesus told you to do it, you should not have to question it. But we do. We have a fear of showing our faith out of judgment from coworkers or friends. Do you boldly proclaim Jesus in every circle you're in? Do you boldly say, I am a Christian first, I am a child of God, I have been reborn? Or do you say, hey, I want to say, church family, I don't want you to be a bold Christian on Sunday and then a quiet Christian Monday to Saturday. I want you to be bold all 7 days of the week. And I want you to walk in the authority that your Father has given you. Because that's what Moses did to free his people. Moses did not walk in his authority. I don't want to spoil too much from next week, but you guys know the story, right? Moses does not walk in the authority of Moses. Moses walks in the authority of God. That's it, right? The great I am who I am. Who God is matters more than who you are. Let's go forward this week in God's authority. Amen?
Amen.
Let me pray for us. Church family, let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we're reminded of your goodness. We're reminded of all the things you do for us, God. And God, when we feel intimidated, when we feel lost, when we feel self-doubt, Lord, we're reminded that we do not walk in our authority, we walk in yours. It doesn't matter who Satan says we are. It doesn't matter what the world says we are. It matters who you say we are. You call us by name. We are your children. So, Lord, I pray for all of the members of this church family as they go forward, as they leave this place, they're able to proclaim the gospel. They're able to walk in the authority you gave them. And, Lord, I pray for those who are scared about diagnosis. I pray for those who are struggling, Lord. I just lift them up to you at this time, Lord. I pray that they remember who you are, that you are who you are, our Father, our Provider, our Redeemer, our Lord. So, Lord, please be with them as they leave this place. In your name we pray. Amen.